Blog Talk Radio.
Live and in color. Hi, I am your host, Derek Fields, and good evening. It is a July 21st. Saturday evening here, 11:35 to be exact, on the East Coast in New York City. Very rainy outside, and got a lot of storms on the horizon. So we're going to be having a lot of summer storms, and I'm a big fan of summer storms, and cools everything down. So we got a lot of rain coming. We've got heavier stuff coming tomorrow too. So it is a Saturday night, and good evening. And I am your host Derek Felix of the Hard Hits Network. And we've got plenty of sports chatter to discuss tonight. Tonight we'll be talking about Subway Series, the enigma that is the New York Mets. I shouldn't say enigma at all. Maybe I should say the puzzle, because they are a puzzle. They're a very confusing puzzle in the way they run. The Mets, Jonas Cespedes being one of those puzzles. And Jerry's Familia, now a former Met, traded to the Oakland Athletics. Trade went down earlier today. Mets getting back William Toffey, a third baseman, and a pitcher by the name of Bobby Wall, right-handed pitcher, plus some international bonus pool money from Oakland in exchange for Jerry's Familia. So, because the Mets wouldn't pick up any of Familia's remainder of his contract, because he is a unrestricted free agent after the year, so I guess December, basically, they didn't get as good a return. They didn't get the value that they could have gotten. Or maybe if they had waited longer, they probably could have gotten more for him. But this is who they are. Now, I don't really know from a hole in the wall how good these two kids are, what kind of return they could have gotten had they maybe waited a little longer in the process, waited a week, maybe let him close a few more games. But they went ahead and they made this trade. So that's topic one right now. So Jerry's Familia had a pretty successful career with the New York Mets. It was the only organization he knew. And he did an excellent job for them. Helped definitely a big part of them reaching the World Series back in 2015. It's hard to believe that was 3 years ago, when you consider what, or as Steve Summers likes to call them, the New York Metropolitans. And I just don't get it. I don't understand how a team could go from where they were 3 years ago, and then 2016 they did get it as a wild card, and they did. They did get shut down by Madison Bumgarner, and that's the last time that we saw the New York Mets in the playoffs, and that's the last time the New York Mets were good. But everything that can go wrong or could go wrong did, and a lot of things fell apart for them. So the Mets did adieu to one of their best closers in franchise history. And for as much criticism as he received, Familia, for blowing some games, especially in those big spots against the Royals in that World Series, this guy was a pretty darn good closer for them. So, yeah, I've read some tweets today, and one of them just, I couldn't believe what I was reading. Yeah. Well, if they had gotten Matt Noakes, 1988 Matt Noakes, like baseball card, that one, that's ridiculous. Familia, I'm not saying he's a great closer, but he's a quality guy. He's a good closer. I understand he had to have that 15-game suspension last year for the stuff that went on with his wife. That was not good, obviously, but still, he did a real good job for the New York Mets. So the Mets deal off one of their pieces. There's probably at least one. There's at least one more piece that, or maybe two, that could go. I would expect us, Drubal Cabrera, to go closer to the deadline. With it being July 21st and July 22nd tomorrow, it is a reminder that on Tuesday, July 31st, well, a week from this Tuesday, that will be the trade deadline. So you're going to see more action. You're going to see more guys moving. We saw Brad Hand moved, and his debut with the Indians was inauspicious, to say so. Very inauspicious. And especially when you consider he gave up that bomb to Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo of the 170 or 180 average with Texas, and the Indians still had problems winning their game last night because Cody Allen blew that save. The Indians did eventually win the game in 11 innings, but Joey Gallo, that tying on the ball really traveled far. But so let's try to break down this trade, and then we'll talk about the Yankees getting a win, getting a much-needed bounce-back win against the New York Mets, hanging on by the skin of their teeth for the 7-6 victory because Chapman was rusty. They needed Chase and Shreve to get the save. That's pretty hard to believe. But the Yankees were able to hold on. Aaron Judge hit the home run, his number 26, which leads the Bronx Bombers. Three hits for Aaron Judge. And if Judge just played at Yankee Stadium, he just played at the stadium, I can't imagine what his numbers would be, because his world numbers stink. They're terrible this year. He's hitting beneath 200 on the road with 10 home runs and a pile of strikeouts. So obviously he's going to need to improve that area if he wants to be considered. Look, he already is one of the better players in baseball, but he needs to be better on the road. Familia actually got stronger as in his return season as it's gone on. He has not given up a run in July. I think it was 7 scoreless innings in July. So he's done a good job. Excuse me. 4-4 with a 2.88 ERA. New York Mets in 40 games this year, 40 2/3, 36 hits, 17 saves, of course, led the ball club, 13 runs, 13 earned, only one home run allowed, 14 walks. So, I mean, the walks, not great in the 40 2/3, 43 strikeouts. He's always been a guy who could strike out batters, so he's a strikeout pitcher. So, and boy, I mean, that's definitely give the Oakland Athletics a boost, that bullpen. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's enough for Oakland. I think they kind of need maybe another starter. That's probably what they really do need, which makes them no different than a lot of teams. Yankees, obviously, they're going to need an arm. Definitely, they need an arm. So it is what it is. And Houston Astros need a reliever. The Indians, they still look like they're going to struggle. Even maybe they need Andrew Miller healthy. So, but they have they're in an easy division, so that doesn't even matter. All right. Darius Familia, as far as his career with the New York Mets, 123 saves, right up there, as far as the franchise and the saves department. John Franco actually probably had the most. He was there for a long time. 51. He had that franchise record. The 51 saves that he had, which led the majors in 2016. Amazing stuff. Don't forget. I mean, he had 43 in 2015, his first real full year closing. So, you know, you look at those two years that they were in the playoffs, and you look at all the appearances that he made. I mean, that's a great total right there. I mean, you combine that. That's a combined 94 saves in two seasons. Just tremendous. He certainly was a big part of the Mets' success. The strikeouts, obviously, better than the innings pitched. And definitely a guy that now gets a chance to be on a team that's hoping that they could still bid for that second wild card. Last check. the Mariners were trailing the awful White Sox 4-0 at home. The Mariners won last night's game and gained a game on Oakland, who lost to the Giants. The Oakland Athletics, at last check, were leading the San Francisco Giants. Bad Bum had a tough game. Walked four batters in a row, actually. I think he walked four batters in an inning and left the game. So a very un-Madison-like performance. He usually has very good control, but he left in the fifth inning. So Oakland was leading that game. So we'll try to get a little bit of an update on that, and we'll also try to break down the prospects, the two guys the Mets got in this trade. So let's just break it down here. And by the way, that San Francisco Oakland game is 3-2 Oakland, so they're hanging on right now. They got their three runs off Bumgarner, and Giants pushed across a run in the seventh. They're going to the bottom of the eighth. Oh, here's the crazy part, and this tells you that Bumgarner wasn't right. The Oakland Athletics only have two hits in the game. So, two hits in the game. So that's where they are as far as things go. So, we're also going to be taking some phone calls. So I'll see if we have anybody on the switchboard. No, we don't have anybody on the switchboard. Why would we? Anyway, it's 424-675-8226. The old gang, they know that there's a show. They do know there's a show. It's just a question of whether or not anybody decides to call. So, I mean, right now, it's Derek Fields flying solo, and which is fine by me. I don't really care. So let's take a look, a little closer look at that what Familia is making. You know, he only makes $7.93 million. I mean, and the Mets want to pick up a little portion of that to get better prospects. Can you imagine being as cheap and as pathetic as the Wilpons are? God almighty. I mean, they could have gotten better players. How about this? Why don't we look at the guys that they got? And I'm sure they're not. And I read some criticism about the two guys they got back. And look, it's from guys like Joel Sherman and from other scouts that weren't too high on this trade. So, you know what? I mean, who am I to say, you know? Who are they to say whether or not these guys will, one of these two guys will pan out? They could. And don't forget, the Mets get the extra international money, which they need to make sure they continue to land guys in that international market. So, from that standpoint, okay, that's the good part, because it's always a bonus to be able to. All right, so let's look at William Toffey first, and then we'll look at Bobby Wall. So let's look at Toffey. So. Very interesting name. He is a infielder, plays mostly some third base. And we'll give you the synopsis on him, and then we'll get to the pitcher. William Toffey is a 6'2", 205-pound lefty-hitting third baseman. He is 23 years of age. His birthday, by the way, is December 31st. How about that? Born December 31st, 1994. And I feel old. I feel old every time I look and I see some of these birthdays right now, and I look at some of these young cats or these cool cats, and you know, their birth years are 1994, 1995, 1996, 1997. I mean, it's absolutely insane. I mean, there was a girl that I know who I covered at the basketball when I did the Berkeley Carroll. It's just finished college, and she's 22. I mean. I feel old. It makes me feel old. I mean, but it also makes me feel proud to see some of these kids, you know, doing what they're doing and starting to move on to the next phase of their life. I think that's great. All right, so he's only played two professional seasons, Toffey. Here's an interesting fact: the Yankees actually originally drafted him in 2014, so they drafted him out of high school in the 23rd round. Take a gamble in 2016, he did not sign, so he stayed in school with Vanderbilt University to play for Salisbury Prep in Salisbury, Connecticut, and the A's decided to make him a fourth round pick at 2017 Major League Baseball draft. I mean, fourth round pick. That's, so So already they're saying, well, he's not any good. Well, all right, the numbers are not impressive. I'm not going to lie here. The numbers are not that good right now. But he is in – he. All right, so the numbers are not great. Not a lot of power or pop. Second year, 244, 5 home runs, 32 RBIs, 29 walks, 41 strikeouts. So he does reach base. That's good. There is not much here in terms of this move. And Colin has checked it, and he said to me in the group text, he said the Mets got fleeced. Well, who knows? But he must be listening to the show. I'd have to gauge. Let's check to see if he's actually on the line before I get to the other guy, because we have to check. No, right now, it's just me. So let's look at the other guy, the wall. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good when you get a light-hitting third base prospect. I know it's only his second full season, but still, it never looks good. That doesn't look good. My guy Mitch Holagos, he hit in a ball, and he almost was traded for Johan Santana, believe it or not, because he had that. What was that 38-game hitting streak that he had, a record back then in the South Atlantic League? And he was a hot commodity back then. And he was a – Holagos played both short and third before it didn't work out for him when he went over to the A's farm system. And he's got a family now. Yeah, not everybody makes majors. But I'll tell you what – if you get drafted and you play pro ball, you made it. That's the way I look at it. And Bobby Wall is 26 years old. This really does not look good. I mean, this looks like it was just a give a throwaway. I mean, all right, he's arbitration eligible in 2020. He's a free agent in 2024. Am I missing something here? Like, why would you acquire a 26-year-old? He is pitching for the A's. It's his first year. A 4.70 ERA in 7 games, 8 hits and 7 and 2/3, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. I mean, it looks to me like this deal was really all about the international, getting that international bonus money. Because unless the third baseman turns into something, this is not a good deal at all. And I could see why the Mets got dashed for it. This looks just horrible. It's not like somebody has chopped liver. I mean, he's a guy that can strike out, more than a batter per inning. He can set up, he can close games. He can certainly solidify and make that A's, the back end of that A's, their bullpen even stronger. I mean, whoa. So, yeah. I don't like what I see either. I wanted to obviously look at the two players first. Maybe William Toffey can turn into something because he was a fourth-round pick, but the other guy just looks like chopped liver, just a throw away. They didn't really get much here. But this Toffey kid was drafted 3 times, once by the Yankees after high school, once by the Orioles when he was still in college, and now by the A's. And when you're drafted, you can be drafted in college, second, third year. I mean, you have to decide whether or not you're going to sign. You decide to stay in school. So he liked playing for Vanderbilt. All right, so that's where we are as far as that goes. We can talk about the Yonas Cespedes debacle. And that is a debacle. So I'm just going to get to it. But I have no bias in this. I have no, rooting interest in this. Cespedes, when he came to the Mets in 2015, when they made that trade after deciding not to make the trade for Carlos Gomez, which would have been a disaster. They were going to trade both Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores, and I think somebody else in that trade, and then they pulled away. They didn't like the injury history to Milwaukee, and that would have been a great catch for Milwaukee. They instead wound up making the trade for Cespedes. Sent away a really good prospect, pretty good prospect there, that pitches for the Tigers every fifth day. He was a hero. He was tremendous when he came to the New York Mets. He carried them for those 2 months, and just carried them into the playoffs, and got them into help get them into the World Series. He was just awesome. He was awesome for them, with the home runs, the 17 home runs, and just a clutch player and performer. So, and then he followed it up with 31 more home runs in 2016, the next year, helping get them again into the playoffs, and they re-signed him. You know, it's funny, because when he did become a free agent, and I was kind of in the minority opinion, I said that I wouldn't have signed him. Because I was thinking more about Conforto, and I was thinking more about, it might be a risk to sign him to that 4-year deal, just knowing what kind of player he was. Yeah, he's a boomer best kind of guy. Yeah, he's a slugger. He's a free swinger. So, and I knew he was a little bit injury prone, but the injuries didn't show up really until he was met. So, and I've been proven right. So, I thought, giving him the 4-year, $110 million, I probably would have walked away. I would have walked away. But the Mets were under a lot of pressure. And if they didn't bring him back, people would have called up the radio here, and they would have cried over it and said, this is typical of the Mets. So the Mets anteed up, and they re-signed him. He signed through 2020, so he's got 2 more years left. He hasn't been healthy since. Now, last year, only got into 291 at-bats and into 81 games, hit 17 home runs, 42 RBIs. So, I mean, if you split that up, that's 34 home runs. If you prorate it, it's 34 home runs, it's 84 RBIs. So he still would have had a good year. He still put up good numbers. But the injuries obviously have been a big problem for Cespedes. And this year, obviously, with the hip, and now with apparently the feet, the heels, which he referenced, after he finally returns, hits a home run, has 2 hits, hits a home run off the foul pole, and hits a home run. And after the game, and the one thing I noticed, and I mentioned it last night, it didn't really look like he was moving right. Like, I noticed when he was walking around that something looked off. Like, I was just watching him walk when they celebrated their victory over the Yankees on Friday. And my feeling was, my takeaway was, like, he's not close to 100%. You could see it. You could see it. And that's why, he DH'd, and that's why they want to play him at first. And I knew something was wrong. And then, lo and behold, it came out after the ball game that he was hurting. His heels, he had 2 bad heels, and he says he's been playing like this for 15 years, and he has to have surgery on both of them. He has the surgery now, obviously. If he did the surgery now, he'd be ready. He'd be ready to go in spring training of next year, because it's about a 9 to 10 month recovery process. If he hangs around and plays a couple of meaningless months of baseball on a bad team, well, guess what? And then he waits until October or whatever, October to do the surgery. Well, I mean, he isn't going to be back until what? Probably like July of next year. That doesn't make any sense, really. So here's the whole thing. What the hell are the Mets team doctors doing? What are they doing? That's what I want to know. Are they related to Dr. Seuss? Are they or are they not Dr. Seuss in disguise? We've joked about this. I've joked about this before when it comes to the Mets, when it comes to their team doctors. They might be Dr. Seuss, or it might be a doctor from Bugs Bunny. It might be. It could be. So, I mean, who knows? But I don't really know what's going on there. I don't understand. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to understand it. But it's obvious that he can't move. He can't really move around. I mean, he couldn't even DH in back-to-back games after just coming off the DL, where he's been for a long time. Now, I actually understand why Cespedes said he wouldn't have been that much of a help to the Mets when it came to winning games. I think he said that because he knew what was wrong with him. The Mets somehow did not, which that's confusing in itself. Maybe that's why they held him back. And don't forget, Cespedes had a setback when he was doing his rehab assignment. So it's pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy to think that this happened. Now, I mean, if you're a Mets fan, how do you not, like, hang your head in shame? How do you not cry over just how just awfully run this team is? And then you have the manager, the genius of a manager that they hired, Mickey Callaway, who was a pitching coach for the Indians. You know, they had success, obviously, as a pitching coach there. Did a great job with their starters. He couldn't do anything with Matt Harvey, though, who was pitched better since he's been with Cincinnati. So that makes you wonder. And they just wanted to send him down. And he was bad for a while, but he's pitched better of late. And he's basically a five-inning, maybe six-inning tops pitcher. But he's pitched better, and they want to keep him at last check. So Mickey Callaway comes off clueless. He's like, well, I didn't know. Like, how do you not know? How do you not know? You're supposed to be the manager. You're supposed to be in charge of the team. You listen to, I don't really watch him talk, but I read the quotes, obviously, on Twitter, and people are calling about what he says after games. And he's talking about the process after they're like losing like 18 of 20 games or whatever they were losing. And he's like, we're playing good as they're losing all these games. This guy's not a manager. He's not a manager. No, the roster is not that good to begin with. But and obviously you have some players underperforming. So I'm not really understanding. I am not understanding what the heck's going on. But it's odd. It is really odd. So here you have a manager that obviously they have to get rid of him. They have to get rid of this guy because he's just. And I understand that their management's a little different right now. That you have, with the three-headed GM. Well, Omar Minaya is not really. He's not making those kind of moves. He's just – Omar Minaya is there to try to rebuild their farm system. He's trying – he's looking – he's more doing the scouting, trying to help with the prospects because the Mets farm system sucks. So from that standpoint, well, he's always been a good talent evaluator. So I think that's fine. It's the other two guys that are basically calling the shots, or are they calling the shots, or is it Fred Wilpon? So, these are interesting questions. You have to ask the Mets. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? When the season ends, is it going to be Rico, or are they going to hire a new GM? Are they going to keep Callaway? They're a confusing franchise. It makes me glad that I'm a Yankee fan because, oh, God, I can't imagine, like rooting for this team. And I follow a lot of Mets fans on my Twitter account. And you can follow me on Twitter and at New York Puck. So at NEWYRKPUCK, Puck, which is basically the show for hockey. Alan Hansen, by the way, scores in the top of the ninth. Giants tie the Athletics. So the Athletics blow one. Familia's not there yet, but I guess Blake tried and couldn't finish them off, and the Giants wound up finding a way to tie it, so they are all tied in the night. But I just can't imagine I can't imagine what it's like to root for a franchise that's so screwed up. Because they are. They are absolutely screwed up. I mean, there is nothing else to say. I follow a lot of Mets fans, and some of the tweets that I read about this branch about from good fans, fans that are loyal, and some of these fans are still like, let's go Mets. Like, what's one fan? He always says, let's go Mets. Keith Lockless, I think that's the guy, also a big Ranger fan, obviously, says, let's go Mets every game, despite the fact that they suck. And, you know, of course they want to beat the Yankees because we're the Yankees, and we own New York again. And the Mets looked like they were going to own New York for a while, and boy, that really turned around. And isn't that the same thing that happened in 2000 after 2000? Yeah, I mean, it's strange. It is strange. It is strange. I've told Jade Beck a bunch of times that I think the Mets are jinxed. They've had opportunities ever since they won in '86. Like, they should have won obviously more than they did. You want to lay the blame at not staying on top of Daryl Strawberry. You want to or Dwight Gooder. Or you want to pin the blame on the players for on the clubhouse or whatever. They still should have won in '88. I did not see the Dodgers special that they did on MLB. I heard it was pretty good. I will get around to it. Probably not until a couple nights after tomorrow. Got schoolwork to do tomorrow. But I will get around to it so I can actually get a better idea of what it looked like. I still don't know how the Dodgers did it. Everybody could just point to Kirk Gibson on one leg, basically coming up and hitting that dramatic pitch hit home run against Eckersley at Dodger Stadium. But I still don't know how they won. They had like a bunch of overachievers. Of course, Mike Schultz with the big blow against Dwight Gooden. But you had guys like Mickey Hatcher. I can't name a lot of Dodgers from that team. I really can't. Well, you had Hershiser, obviously, with the big scoreless inning streak, where his scoreless inning streak actually turned into a franchise record, passing Don Drysdale back in, I believe, the 50s. And so you had him. But, like, if you looked at their team, you looked at their roster, and you compared it to the Mets, or you even compared it to the Oakland Athletics, sometimes it's not always about talent. Sometimes it's just about a team that just finds a way to win. Tommy Lasorda was a great manager. He was. He was a little bit of a maniac, and he still hates the Yankees to this day and probably will on his deathbed. He hates the Yankees with a passion, but the guy could manage. So I mean, it's interesting. It is interesting. I do not think I would actually take this route and talk about the Mets, but I don't know. They're interesting when you think about just how chaotic they are. They're very chaotic. They're a very chaotic franchise. Whereas the Yankees, you know, Cashman realized that he had to do what he had to do with Alex Rodriguez and aging Alex Rodriguez and Teixeira, who retired, and by making some trades, also that he turned the Yankees into a very athletic team that's going to competing for championships, competing in the playoffs for a long time. I'm just not sure they're ready. I'm not sure they're ready. It's funny because like they got to Game 7 last year of the LCS, but they weren't close in those two games at Houston. And that was a home series all the way. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure, you know, that they're ready. The lineup still struggles with runners in scoring position. They miss Gleyber Torres. That was the genius move by Cashman there, trading Chapman, getting back Gleyber Torres in that deal. And then basically the Cubs renting Chapman. They won their World Series in 2016, and then the Yankees signed him back. So sometimes, I mean, that's obviously the Sonny Gray deal did not work out, but that one is one for the ages, one for the ages. So, and I know JPG still rants about it. He still rants about it, but he's got an all-star second baseman that's leading his team in RBIs and home runs and in stolen bases on pace for 30-30 a year. We understand that Javier Baez is not as patient at the plate. He swings at a lot of pitches. If he ever changed his approach and became a little more selective, can you imagine how much better he could be? He could be a lot better if he walked. Yeah, I mean, with the 19 home runs and the 19 stolen bases, and I think what he drive in today, 2 or 3 runs. He had 75 RBIs last year. I think he actually matched his RBI output from last year, which was career best. And the 19 home runs that he has are 4 off 23 home runs that he hit last year. This is only his third full year in the majors. And JPG just wants to get rid of him because he doesn't like him, you know, because he's not a JPG-type player. You know, he's not. And we understand that he had some struggles in the postseason with the strikeouts, but he's a terrific guy to watch when it comes to in the field, how he can just lay down that tag. There's nobody better at laying down that tag on the court stealing, the range that he has, the way he plays the game. He plays it a little recklessly. He'll steal bases. He'll steal home. He's a fun player to watch. I enjoy watching him play. Of course, if JPG were right now, he'd be letting me have it. But that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you can disagree. You can disagree on things. So we disagreed on plenty. But yeah, you can't like say that Bias has not done everything that he can this year for the Cubs. He certainly has. So that's where we are. 424-675-8226. All right, we'll be right back. And then we'll do our final segment. So we'll be back after this. Live is the Hard Hit Sports Podcast with Derek Felix. And I've got about 15 minutes, a little less than 16 minutes actually left in the live portion. Overtime, if I can think of anything, because I'm just flying solo tonight on a Saturday night. Yankees with the 7-6 win over the Mets in the Interleague and the Subway Series to even up that series. A game that Sonny Gray pitched, and he did, of course, give up a home run to Conforto in the second inning. And you're just thinking, well, here we go again with Sonny Gray. But with the not-so-sunny and the gray skies forecast. But he was better than Steven Matz. He did pitch, I think, into the sixth inning, gave up 3 runs. And the Yankees were able to do what they usually do against Mets. Yeah, Mets does not pitch well against the Yankees. He had 5 earned in 5 innings, 9 hits, and he falls to 4-8, and his ERA drops to 3.65 or rises to it. And Aaron Judge hit a home run in the game, his 26th And what is he? How many of home runs does he have at the stadium? He's got a lot of home runs. But Yankees were able to even up the series, Bird with a couple of RBIs. He had two hits in this game. Greg Bird is still a work in progress. The injuries are a big reason why, because he can't stay healthy. He has 8 home runs, but the average obviously at 223. But he does take his walks. Romine did the catching, I should say yesterday now, but today, or whatever you want to say, because I still consider it Saturday. Romine with a couple of runs knocked in. Andujar with 2 more doubles. He's a doubles machine, 3 hits for him. I'll tell you, Andrew can do, I'll tell you that much. So with the 12 home runs and the 29 doubles, and, you know, his rookie of the year candidacy continues to rise. But, you know, once Glaber comes back, and I think it's going to be if it's not for Tampa Bay, it'd be for the Red Sox, I believe, next week. So he'll be back. And, well, I mean, you've got some good rookies. You do have some good rookies. Don't forget about Ohtani either. So, you know, we have to talk about him as well. You know, he's been healthy, but you know, I just don't think he's going to be pitching any time soon, which is too bad because, boy, is he's a player to watch, I'll tell you. A guy that can pitch and hit, pretty damn impressive, I'll tell you that much. But right now he's just cleared to hit, so Ohtani will do some hitting for now. The very talented Japanese rookie, a young player right now at the age of 24, a guy that certainly was missed by the Angels when he got hurt and thought maybe his season was going to be done, but it's not. He's still able to come back, and he's still able to hit for the Angels. I just don't think you're going to be seeing him pitch anytime soon. So, but the Angels are still a 500 ball club, even with Michael Nelson Trout and Justin Upton, who knocks and runs, and Pujols, again, is on the DL. You know, you say you want what you want for Pujols, but he does have 18 home runs and was really starting to heat up before he got placed on the DL with the left knee inflammation. Won't be back. I'm expected not back until the end of the month. So he's 38 years old, and we know that contract is at Albatross. But actually, he has the 16 home runs. Let me correct myself. But he was starting to hit for them. And you know, it's very tough to replace that production. I mean, he's a guy who will hit close to 30 home runs. He'll knock in 100 runs. So very tough to replace that. Even though Pujols is 38 years old, when I look at our Pujols, he's definitely one of the all-time greats, at least from this era. You know, nobody talks about Albert Pujols, but you look at the consistency. You look what he was able to do with both the Cardinals, and it was mostly the Cardinals, and with the Angels, with the RBIs, and the hits. Everybody talks about Mike Trout. You know, Albert Pujols was like the pre-Mike Trout. But the only difference is he played first base, and center field is a big deal. You know, it's very hard to sustain the level that Mike Trout has played at. Look at Griffey Jr. How many more home runs would Ken Griffey have hit? He didn't just lay it all out there with the glove outstretched going into the Yankee Stadium, the old stadium wall, and I think breaking his wrist, with the injuries that he had. How many more home runs could he have hit? Yeah. I mean, I have to go there because Ken Griffey Jr. is still the best player that I ever saw from the talent standpoint. I want to go Barry Bonds. Bonds, a little more artificially induced after he decided to do the juice, but Bonds was a 40-40 guy, and Bonds could always hit and never needed to do that. Never needed the PEDs like McGuire and Sosa did. I'll tell you that much. And Trout obviously is right up there. And then you could do your rankings. You could, you know, who have you seen hit? I always loved watching Manny Ramirez at the plate. Manny Ramirez could just flat out rake. Too bad that he decided to cheat, because Manny Ramirez was awesome. Man, from George Washington. Apparently, obviously he was a little bit nuts and might have rubbed off some of his crazy attitude on Javier Baez. That's according to an insider that I talked to occasionally on Twitter. So, And you hope that Baez gets it, though, and that he's not that bad now. Baez, well, this was when Baez was still in the minors. I don't know what the deal is now. Manny Ramirez could just, he was awesome. he would just wear out Yankee pitching. Remember that debut with the Indians at Yankee Stadium that he had? When he came to Yankee Stadium, he had like a whole section of fans. Hit a home run. I think what he had, like two home runs, double, triple, whatever he did. And yeah, he had a great game, first game at Yankee Stadium, returning home, and just what he was able to do. I mean, he was just awesome. People forget that Manny Ramirez, like before the Red Sox, was just, he could have won MVP. He never won an MVP. It's crazy. His 99 season, he had 165 RBIs, led the majors, 44 home runs, 333 average, did not win MVP, finished third. Best OPS overall of 100. 154 the following year before he decided to go to the Red Sox. And without him, the Red Sox do not win those world championships. So you could say what you want about Manny, but Manny was a big part of those first two titles that they won in the century. So he was the MVP of the World Series against the Cardinals, the Cardiac Cards. So there you have it. All right, as we got about a few minutes left, I did want to talk a little bit about the Open, the British Open, that would be. I caught like a good portion of day three. Tiger Woods had a really good day, which is nice to see. You know, you could talk about all the mistakes that he made, and he's made a ton in his life. But now he's just he's an older golfer, just trying to, you know, chase a major, get it, you know, win another major. And he's not going to catch Jack Nicklaus. I don't think that will ever happen. But you know, he's just a guy in his 40s, you know, a year or two older than me, and he's just trying to, you know, stay in contention. And he certainly did very well in round three, shooting 5-under, and now he's 5-under for the tournament. Right now, you have a three-way tie on the leaderboard between Kisner, who continues to play well, and Jordan Spieth, who's always a threat. He had a great round of golf yesterday with the 65. I think he had a 65. Woods had a 66. So he's 9-under as well. And Schauffele is also 9-under. Chappell -7. Then you have Tiger -5 with Simpson, Kuchar, and a bunch of other guys, including Rory McIlroy, who's also contention, and Zach Johnson. So those are the names to look at there when it comes to what's going to happen or what will happen tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Remember, it's the British Open, so it's early in the day, and we'll wrap up probably around 3-4 o'clock. So that will be an interesting final round. It's definitely better than the last major where nobody knew where the ball was going. So that was pretty crazy. But it definitely should be interesting to watch. So I'll try to watch a little bit of that as well, catch a little bit of that. And Tiger definitely seemed to do a really good job of his drives. He was able to hit the greens, and his putting was pretty good. He did miss that one putt. It was a birdie putt, and it went in and out. Actually, you know what? It was a putt for par, but it went in and out, and then he wound up with a bogey and dropped from -6 to -5. So that was a little frustrating, obviously. But he had a really excellent round, and you have Jordan Spieth in contention, and you have also McIlroy. And you got some other guys in it. I think it should actually be a good final round. So that's where they are right now. July 22nd tomorrow will be the final day at the Carnoustie Championship Course with a $10.5 million purse. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? So that's your little British Open update. Yeah, I'm not really, when it comes to, I know, like, the terms. I know what an eagle is. I know what a birdie is, obviously. we if you birdie, obviously you're going to gain a stroke, and I know what a par is, and I know what bogeys are. But, you know, I'm not what you would call a golf expert. I obviously know who the really good golfers are. This Kisner guy has been playing really well all tournament. So I Kevin Kisner, I actually expect him to be pretty tough tomorrow as well. He seems to really be playing well. Oh, here's something. Here's a little tip, because Hullum was listening before. He's from the University of Georgia, actually. He went to the University of Georgia. He's only 34 years of age. So Kevin Kisner trying to deliver a championship. So we'll see what happens with that. So there's only a few minutes left here. I mean, outside of, like, the golf and the baseball, there's really not a lot else to discuss right now. Unless you're a Canadian Football League fan, a CFL fan, there's really not much else going on. I did see that there was a CFL game. So, we'll see what happens there. So, I could also check my MLB network here and see what's going on with the ball game here. And right now it is White Sox 4 and the Mariners nothing. So, and Dylan Covey, a guy I've never heard of, pitched a career high 8 innings, giving up only 1 hit. So, you know, last night was fun. JPG called in, and then of course he disappeared with the astonishing appearance from Lou from the Enhanced Sports Radio, who was a real fan and does his own thing, which is nice. And then JPG just decided to disappear and go hide in a closet or duck and cover, as they used to use that terminology a lot in the 60s, you know, during the Cold War. So, they actually used to practice that drill, and that was JPG. He became JP Gone. So there it is again. Braves and Nationals were rained out. They're probably not going to play tomorrow either. Yankees Mets are supposed to play at 8 o'clock tomorrow on that stupid Sunday night slate where every Yankee Met game must be played in prime time. I just watched a very interesting play. So even though there's a few minutes left, I'm just going to go over this. So the White Sox had a runner on third base in the ninth inning. It was a fly out to right, and it acted just a bomb of a throw. A great throw by the Mariners right fielder. I might think about it, but Haddock. He made a perfect throw to the catcher, but the catcher dropped the ball, and the runner was able to get around and touch home plate, and it's 5-0. Then they threw it. They threw it to third, and the runner there was safe. But so the White Sox wound up tacking on a run. So there's not much else going on. Robbie Cano is going to be back pretty soon. He's going to supposedly play. He might even play some first base along with some second. Maybe they'll split him up or whatever. But, you know, I guess they want to get his bat back in there. You know, he's been almost finished serving a suspension. And there's just really not much else to talk about tonight. I'm sure there are going to be some more baseball moves being made. I also want to just shout out Matt Carpenter, who hit a home run for the 6th straight game. So he's hit a home run, at least one home run in 6 straight games. Matt Carpenter's always been very underrated, very underappreciated as a ball player. He continues to rake for the Cardinals. And don't forget, he played third, he played second, he plays first. I mean, he's just a terrific ball player. I don't consider him a big power guy, but what's he got, like 25 home runs? So that's going to do it for this show. Make sure you check out our podcast for any future shows. And hopefully we'll have some guests in the next one, all right? Thank you for tuning in. See you all later. to Hard Hits Network here. It is the Hard Hits Sports Podcast. This is the overtime segment. I am Derek Felix. It is the fall. Right now it's July 22nd here in the New York City area. But it might be July 20th if you decided to tune in, or if you're on the West Coast, obviously, or if you're in the Central Standard Time right now. So that's where we're at. We're just in a little overtime right now. Last night I got to do a little. I got to do some broadcasting of that Dallas Keuchel attempt at a no hitter. It's kind of a shame that that line drive that went off Marwin Gonzalez's glove wound up being called a hit. It was hit hard enough to be a hit, but it could have been an error. And if he had gotten through that inning, they made it an error, and the Angels fans actually booed. He would have still been chasing a no hitter, but it wasn't to be, and he settled for I think giving up one run, and did a great job. Dallas Keuchel was pitched a lot better for the Astros, and the fact that he's pitching better, that's bad news for the rest of the AL. So right now we're doing a little bonus baseball. D. Gordon with a flyout to shallow left, as the Mariners are getting shut out right now by Kobe, a guy that I've never heard of. Yankees, of course, were able to hold off the Mets 7-6. Chapman had an outing where he didn't retire a batter, walked three batters, and he had one of those outings. And Shreve had to save his bacon. And Familia was traded. He was traded for nothing, really. That's what it looks like. Hopefully the third base prospect, hopefully he figures it out in a second pro year. Because the other guy was just a throw-in. It seems like it was just a throw-away, get the international money, just get some international bonus money. That's what it seems like. The Mets did not get much from him. Extra innings right now, Giants and A's are tied at 3. The Giants were able to push across a run in the ninth inning. They are 3-3. The A's, of course, will be Jarius Familia's new team. And I guess Blake Treinen was not able to finish off. He's pitching. He's still in there. He's pitching the 10th inning. So he was not able to finish it off for the Athletics. But right now, as we check the box score, he's in his second inning of work. And Trevino is the third part of that I have not talked about. He's a hard thrower. He's got a 1-2-2 ERA entering. There's a base hit for Gene Segura in the Seattle game. 7-1. Is Lou Trevino, 26 years old, 50 strikeouts and 44 and a third. It's pretty damn good for that's. He's a rookie, by the way, too. Nobody talks about rookies when it comes to relievers, but this guy's got great numbers. He's 26 years old, but obviously, I don't think he's going to be challenging. He's not going to be challenging Glaber or Andujar or even Altani. Unless he was like saving games, they're not looked at the same way. So the White Sox, I don't really get this. The White Sox are taking out this pitcher who has a 2-hit shutout. What are they playing for? What are they babying him for? Why not? What do you have? Like 104 pitches? You may as well let him finish it. This is the part of baseball that I do not understand. I don't understand it. You're telling me he couldn't throw another 10 to 15 pitches, maybe give him a shot to get that complete game, throw another 10 pitches. See if he can get the complete game, get it on play. He gets the complete game. Yeah, they really do baby these players today, especially the pitchers. It's just ridiculous. It's just terrible, to be honest. Bumgarner walked 6 batters altogether. Wow, that's incredible. If you're going to walk 6 batters in 4 innings, you're not going to make it for the 5th inning. And he walked 4 in that one inning where the A's scored their 3 runs. So it's really hard when you don't have your best stuff, you don't have that control, it's really hard to come out with that W. So that's very disappointing right there from him. Let's just look here at this box score. Cahill went 5 2/3, only gave up a run. So the A's bullpen gave up 2 runs. And the Giants were able to get the runs they needed to get into position here to tie this game. One thing I did not mention, I should have mentioned it, as I mentioned on the show, the previous show, Domingo Germán became Domingo Hergan. I got my wish. He got optioned to Scranton Wilkes-Barre. He needed to be optioned because he was struggling. And by the way, just to go back to Dylan Colby, he had 1/3, 2 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, 105 pitches. They should have left him in. You leave him, man. You let him try to get the complete game. So that's where I stand on that. The Yankees were able to gain a game back on the Red Sox, who actually were shut out by the Red Sox and Mike Fiers, if you can believe that. But Mike Fiers actually had a good year, and he's being looked at. He is being looked at. And, of course, the first pitch, did he catch that? He caught that. You know what? I cannot believe he caught that. So, all right, so the first pitch that the reliever threw was absolutely crushed, and it looked like there was no chance that Garcia, at the what, I think it's Alvisail Garcia, could catch it. He took a home run away. And as we look at Hector Santiago, that's a forgotten guy. He leaped perfectly, outstretched with his right hand against the wall and the glove fully extended, and he took the home run away and almost doubled up the runner at first. So, good job there, at least preserving the shutout, even though it will not be a shutout for Colby. But the Red Sox got shut down by Mike Fiers. He's actually a second win for the Tigers. I mean, you know, he's always been like a guy that's a little overlooked. He's not great by any stretch. If you looked at some of the teams that he's played on or pitched on, whether it's Houston or Milwaukee, Detroit, he is a guy who will give you some innings. He's probably gonna be traded. There's some interest in Mike Fiers. So there will be interest in him. Danny Duffy. Somebody pulled up WFAN New York and asked about Danny Duffy. Duffy is a guy I went in touch with a 10-foot pole, but apparently, the Duff man who was off to a miserable start this year, has been pitching a lot better for the Royal Crown, the Omaha Royal Crown. He's a guy who can pitch, who can give you 6 innings, pitch into the 7th sometimes, and he will strike out batters. He's actually has pitched better lately. He's actually got his ERA to like respectable level in today's game, even though I consider like a 4.40 ERA still pretty bad. You know, when I think about yesterday's error, you know, when you see pitchers with over 5 ERAs like Sonny Gray still pitching, that would never happen. That would never happen in the early 90s. It really wouldn't. It's just like we've accepted mediocrity. But the White Sox just finished off the Mariners, and Colby gets his win. But that was a terrific catch right there by Garcia at the wall. So he does get the win, doesn't give up any runs. That would have been a shame if he'd been charged with a run there. So the Mariners lose tonight. The Athletics are trying to gain back a game. They're currently tied. The Rockies and D-backs played a wild one yesterday. I was watching a little bit of highlights on MLB. Last night, the Rockies came back against the D-backs. The D-backs have led, but the Rockies will come back to win 11-10. And those teams trail the Dodgers. I think it's about a 2-game gap right now. 2-game gap, at least. So we're looking at some highlights from this game. Few runs on the board, obviously. Zach Godley pitched this game for the D-backs. So a wild pitch made a 4-4. Boy, I'll tell you, the D-backs made a mess of this game. So the game they led. Let's see. There's still some Wahala to this. All right, so that's a run scoring single for Nick Ahmed. 5-5. These jerseys are ugly. Oh, great play by the pitcher, man. That's a terrific play. He almost caught it with his glove, lost his glove, slid, and then made a strike throw first to get out of it. Tom Murphy, the catcher, is actually back with the Rockies. He had a home run, a solo home run to make it 6-5. And that called third strike to Ahmed was not a strike. That was off the plate inside by about a good 7 inches. So I would definitely be upset with that. But the Rockies take 2 games in a row from the D-backs, and they're now in second place in the NL West, the crazy NL West. Olberg is 6-0 out of the bullpen for them. All right, so there's some highlights there of that. Let's look at this Boston game. Mike Fierce goes, what do you go, 6 1/3, 7 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Somebody will trade for him. I mean, it doesn't make sense for them to keep him. Not much doing in this Red Sox box or Betts, even though Betts and the Red Sox didn't score any runs, Betts had a couple more hits. He's 355 now. 11-21 OPS, he'd be the MVP. In a tight race with Jose Ramirez and Mike Trout, Ramirez leads the majors with 30 home runs. So, Benintendi, 2 more hits. He's over 300. Remember, he got off to a terrible start this year, but he's really come on. He's just a really good hitter, man. I'll tell you, he's a really good hitter. Terrific. Terrific hitter. The Red Sox have better hitting than the Yanks do because they have guys that can hit for a 300 average. So, Yankees are now back to 4.5 out. So they are 4.5 out. So they are showing some Dodger highlights here. Jamie Hirsch is on MLB Network. Let's look at some Dodgers Brewer highlights. Brew Crew have been in a horrific slump. Oh, Machado with one for the highlight reel. Into that hole. And then a beautiful turnaround and throw. Oh, God. He is such a great defensive player. Oh, man. I love Manny Machado. The Brewers did come back to win this game 4-2. So I just have to look at my little map, so let's see what the difference was. Christian Yelich, what yard? It's a dead center, man. Good 400 and about 10 feet to right center off Kershaw. Wow, Bob Uecker on the call as an error. An E5 results in a Brewers run, and then a key insurance run by Broxton on a gapper. The Euchre still sounds great. Still does. That Josh Hader. Boy, he's filthy. He really is filthy. He went 2 scoreless innings and struck out, I think, like 4 or 5 guys. Hopefully, the sensitivity training helps him, obviously, after the mistakes that he made on Twitter, teenager, with the offensive commentary. But it doesn't look like it's going to affect him on the field. But you obviously hope he's a better man now than he was then. So that snaps, I think, a 7-game losing streak for the Brewers. And they do gain a half game because the Cubs split a doubleheader with the Cards. So they actually picked up half a game. There, we actually got Yankees and Mets highlights, and there's the genius Mickey Callaway. Howie Rose on the call. Conforto. He used the short porch, hit it about 10 rows back. That was his home run. Wow, that was terrible. Oh, my God. I mean, Didi hit a line drive that this Dan Decker guy just totally misplayed. God, there was a Jeffrey Meyer in this game also. A guy reached over and caught a ball that was by Andujar over the wall, so it wound up into a double instead of a home run. The Cedar Bowls hit a little higher than that, but still. I don't know why fans do that. But, I mean, fans like that should be ejected. The Dan Decker play where he just totally, he misjudged two balls. How the hell can you play this guy in center field? He's embarrassing. Oh, my God. I'll tell you, the Mets really are embarrassing. And I tossed Gobert out of the game for arguing that he went around. Here comes the Judge home run. I have such good power. God almighty. He had a low pitch and hit it into that left center field area. Stadium. Wow, Chapman was just all over the place. Just had no location at all. Maybe he should have pitched in the All-Star game. The Mets really should have tied this game up. They had the bases loaded. The double play made it only 7-6, and then Shreve was able to get the final out. I guess that's why they're in the Mets. The Yankees are 63-34. The Judge, as I said, 3 out of 4. Andujar with 2 doubles. Third, of course, 2 hits. And the Mets, this deal, they got $1 million in international slot money. That's where it really comes down to, because they hardly got anything back. This was toughy. Maybe Tuffy will turn into something. He was a fourth-round pick in 2017, but he was drafted a couple different times. Now they're showing highlights of the Bay Series. They saw when the A's beat them and when they swept them. Of course, the Bay Series, that's well documented for the earthquake, the terrible earthquake that happened before Game 3. A series that the Oakland A's with Eckersley, Canseco, McGuire, Terry Steinbach, that they were a little sweep. So that's highlights of that. Kershaw, by the way, got charged with all 4 runs in this Dodger loss. Only 1 earned, 5 strikeouts in 6 innings. So the Giants, the way they tied the game, they were down to their last strike, but the strike got away. The strike 3 got away. That's how they were able to tie the game. So they're now in the bottom of the 10th. Muncy played third base and made 2 errors. So that definitely hurt. Muncy is more of a first baseman / outfielder. Turner... there's only 256 with 5 home runs and 19 RBIs. How long is he signed for? Giants and A's are still tied. So how long is Justin Turner signed for? I mean, he signed that new contract, what, after last year or after the 2016? Let's check. Let's just quickly do a check here on how long that contract was for. Justin Turner. Man, this overtime has not really been much of an overtime. I've just been doing baseball and just basically doing highlights of some of the games that I'm looking at. All right, so. Oh, okay, so Turner has been sitting out because he has a tight left abductor. So, yeah, it's just been a rough year for him. He's 33. He'll be 34 in, around Thanksgiving this year. A great year last year with the 322 and the 21 home runs. And he really found a home with the Dodgers. It's funny the way, like, a guy will put up a great year, the contract, and they'll get hurt. Yeah, I mean, he's still signed for another 2 years. He's making 12 this year. Gets $19 million in 19 at the age of 34. I mean, 35, 2020, 20 million. So he's still owed another $39 million over the next 2 years. I think they're going to look to try to move him. That's what I think. That's what my gut tells me, especially with this Manny Machado move. But this guy's a really good ball player, but still, I mean, that's a lot of money to pay for a guy who's in his mid-30s, and all of a sudden now has injuries creeping in after his career best year, where he hit 322 with the 21 home runs and the 71 RBIs in 130 games. And the previous year, he was 27 home runs, but career best, and 90 RBIs with 275. So, he's been a terrific Dodger. I'm not trying to knock that at all. I mean, 294, 16, 60 in 2015, 340, 743 as a utility guy in 2014. It took him a while to become a full-time player. And this year, it's been a bust because he's been hurt most of the year. So yeah, there's that when it comes to Justin Turner. Just trying to, is there anything else I wanted to add on this program? Yeah, for real, it's Justin Turner was drafted by the Yankees originally, and then the Reds in the seventh round. I didn't even realize that the Reds drafted him. He started with the Orioles, actually. And as usual, the Orioles didn't really give him a chance. Then they traded him to the Mets, and he drove in 51 runs with the Mets in his like first full year. And then they hardly played him after that, and they just gave up on him. Part of that was David Wright. And, you know, their roster was different. Their roster was a little different back then. All right, so traded by the Reds with Brandon Waring and Ryan Friel. I remember Ryan Friel from Ramon Hernandez, was a shortstop. The Mets picked him up off waivers in 2010. They let him go to free agency in 2013, and he signed with the Dodgers in February of 2014. Became a free agent in November 16, and they re-signed him. All right. So that's where we are. So the A's, I say, because the A's, it is the, they're actually honoring their championship here. Oh, I see. They're actually allowing fans to sit higher. Eckersley was there at this game. They're still playing at that Coliseum. The normal capacity is 46,765. Capacity for tonight's game is over 56,000. Is that Goose Gossage driving? Ricky Anderson, the greatest base dealer ever. They wrote him out there. Dave Stewart. 310. There's one thing that's a little confusing to me. They lost in 88 to the Dodgers. They won in 89. Wouldn't you wait until your 30-year anniversary to do this? These pitches by Bogarter were just off the plate. These pitches that he was missing with. And the six walks were a career worst for him, a career high. They call it a career worst. Trina had him struck out, but Hansen reached because the ball was so badly thrown. And Pence came through with a double into that bullpen area, and Hansen has a lot of speed and came around and scored. Well, that's crazy. That's crazy. From before, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. telling my dad about the rule. Oh, okay, they're actually reviewing this. There was no interference on that play. It was just one of those plays where it was just hit there in that spot. Wow. Jeez. Giants certainly got out of some problems. I'll probably win this game. All right, that's going to do it for this show. Not much of a career worst. Not much of a overtime anyway. Definitely join us for our next show. I don't think I'm going to do one tomorrow, but maybe Monday. All right, but that's going to do it. Make sure you check out our podcast, and we'll be talking to you next time. All right. See you guys all later.